Nice to have you with us as we have another edition of the Steve Peichel podcast presented by RWJ Barnabas Health and the Rutgers Sports Network. Coach, come off a couple of losses at Minnesota last night as we record this, a tough loss at Maryland, and one that I really want to get into with you because I am baffled by this game for a bunch of reasons. First things first, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. We got two road games coming up, so you know this league is just challenging. I love being in it for that reason, but you got to play great basketball. And I will tell you, you know, the last two games, you know, some unbelievable after watching the films, like just shot makers, like guys just made some incredible shots, and give Maryland, you know, a lot of credit on that. But I also say to people, Jerry, last year at this time, 3-6 in the league. So like, it's the league we play in. And I said, you know, as a coach, I got to do a great job. You know, a great job, and I got to do a better job with my team. It's all on me. But this is the challenges that this league brings. There's not one team in this league that's not really good. And that's why every night you got to play your best. And when you don't, you could lose. And we've been here before. And I said, if you can't be a coach that could take a two-game losing streak in this league, then you're in the wrong league, because this is what this league is all about.
Let me ask you a couple of things here. First, last night with the Maryland game. So I think there was 2 or 3 minutes to go in the second half. And I'm looking at the stats and I say to Austin, I say, this team has committed, meaning your team, only 3 turnovers. You had 7 steals. The rebounding number, while I know it wasn't great in the first half, had evened itself out. You're playing a team that lives at the free throw line and you were relatively even with them. And I'm looking at this saying, how in the world are they not up by 10 points, let alone down by 10? And my first thought is, and I guess my question to that is the 3-point shot, I guess it's a philosophical question. Is it ruining basketball? Because I look at that game last night and these kids are making shots from 35 feet. And it's, I don't know, it's like a weird game to me at times.
I mean, you know, I will say this too, and we've won games because we've made threes too. So no one remembers those, especially after a loss, but we've shot the ball really well in some games. But, you know, these are two teams that, you know, Minnesota averaged 5.5 made threes. And then Maryland last night, they averaged 6 makes per game. So on the average, that's kind of what they make. You know, the last two games have been jump off the pages, like a team that, you know, just doesn't shoot the ball like that generally. And then when I watch the tapes, I'm like some highly guarded shots too. I mean, Ayala hit one that, I mean, I don't know if you could make that with no one guarding you, but he hit a few that were just unbelievable. And sometimes I see, you know, their offense is just better than your defense, even though I thought our defense at times was really good, you know, and we just could never get over the hump. Yes. You know, like we had our chances to cut the game to 3. We had some threes that we could have made that could have, you know, made it interesting too. But, you know, these teams are really good and you got to play, you know, 20 minutes. You can't spot a team like that kind of lead. We certainly fought back into it. We were down 11 rebounds at halftime, you know, like, and we ended up out rebounding for the game. But again, you spot a team, the ball starts going in, then that basket gets bigger and bigger. But again, we've won games from the 3-point land too. So, you know, you just sometimes you're at the wrong end of a guy's great shooting night, and he may have 2 or 3 of those a year, and you got him. You were the unlucky team that night. But, you know, I say to our guys all the time, this is the league that we all signed up to play in. And remember, last year we were 3-6. Okay. So, like, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy the year before. You know, like, this is the league, and no team's going undefeated. I think the team that wins the league will have 6 losses. You know, that's just the way it is. And that's the Big Ten. And that's what makes it great too, Jerry.
And so much still in front of you too. That's why anybody that's writing or talking anything to me is goofy. One quick one about, you talk about it, night being your night, because I thought this sequence, I don't have the score on me, but I believe you were down 9 and had momentum and you were starting to get stops. And whoever it was, whether Caleb or Gio, one of the guys missed an open 3. And Ayala comes back, and maybe this is the 3 you're talking about. Yeah. He comes across midcourt. I swear to God, I think his heels were still on the R. And I'm not exaggerating. He had to have been 35, 36 feet out. And he buries the 3. And you go from a game that could have been 6. The place was ready to pop. And goes back to 12 like that as a coach. Like, how deflating is that as you're watching it? Because there's not a whole lot more you can do in that situation.
Yeah, I mean – you know, especially, you know, we did a really good job defending those guys the first time we played them. Okay. And that's why we won the game. And that was our key in the first game. And obviously it was the same key in the second game, you know, with the same personnel. But I've also watched enough tape of Ayala and Fats Russell that they do that. You know, they're really dynamic guards. And, you know, so, you know, it's something that I saw a lot, and that's why it becomes the number one key. And you talk about it for 2 days, and you know, and then when they come out and do it, it doesn't surprise me. But I do watch the tape afterwards and say, "Boy, that's an incredible shot." You know, that's an incredible shot. And Minnesota made a couple of those too. But I will say this: you know, these are the challenges that happen in this league, and we had beaten them 10 days earlier, and they came back with a little chip on their shoulder about that. And those guys wanted to prove that they're good players too. They had tough days the first time around. And, you know, that's why Al is an all-league guy. And Fats Russell is a guy that's, you know, is a problem, you know, in this league. But, you know, those are the challenges you get as coaches. And you also get the same challenges, Jerry. Every game last year we're in where, you know, like the NCAA tournament, we got in the tournament last year, the last game of the season at Minnesota, an overtime win. Like that's, you know, that's the way it is. There's a lot of basketball to be played. And, you know, I know everyone in this world that we're in now is every day, instant this, and you're up, you know, like I never look at any of that. We got to play well against Nebraska on the road. That's what the next obstacle is. And if we do that, you know, we will have our sixth win, where last year it took us, you know, 12 games to get that, 13 games to get, you know, so that's what we have to focus on. And we have to learn from our mistakes in the last game and hope, quite honestly, I think we just got in a buzzsaw the last two games. Guys made some really incredible shots, been better than our defense, and our defense was pretty good, but just couldn't, you know, sometimes guys have games like that. Ron Harper had one of those against Purdue, you know, unmakeable, unguardable shot. So, you know, we've been benefited by it too.
Yeah, I mean, the instant reaction in this world, and it's only getting worse, and we know we've talked about it numerous times. It kind of is what it is, and you live with it. The one thing I didn't like, and that's, you know, a couple of people that I'm friends with that say, boy, sluggish start for Rutgers. And I say, what? Sluggish how? They were out to a 7-4 lead. I thought, and I really believe this, I thought that the energy from your team at the outset of that game last night was a team that was ready to play. The one play, and I wanted to ask you about this on the postgame show, and I forgot, and, you know, not a lot of time. The kid Wahab, who didn't have a big game, I thought he did a really good job setting the tone, because you guys had a chance to really, not pull away, it's too early, but get out to a good lead. And I thought he put a little bit of a mark on that game that allowed Maryland to kind of calm down and settle into the game. And he's a kid that, you know, is very talented. Just your thoughts on that start by your team, and also what he did last night.
Yeah, I mean, we came out, we were ready, you know, for the first round, you know, but they went right inside, and he made three plays, you know, to get them off to a good start. But we made some good offensive plays too, you know, in the first, you know, it's a 40-minute game. You're going to have your ups and downs during the course of it. I mean, we were down 11 down their place, and we came back and had a great second half. I mean, these kids work. You know, I just always say this, year, nobody gives, like, Maryland is a pretty good program last time I checked, and, you know, like, pretty good players, and, you know, give the other team some credit, and, you know, too. And, but nobody does. That's just the way it is. And, you know, I understand that. And, you know, you're going to have sections in the game. We didn't play well, you know, during a stretch there in the middle on either end. And I thought not making shots affected us on the defensive end. And we did that earlier in the year. And I thought we've kind of adjusted and made that adjustment. If they don't score, we don't score. It's okay. You know, but I thought we had some of that, you know, last night. But we've had a hell of a stretch here. Not a lot of days off. They're back in school. You know, today's, you know, they need a day off. We'll get back to work, you know, tomorrow. And we're going on the road in this league, in which people don't understand how hard that is either. But, you know, those are the challenges. I got to do a great job, you know, coaching all the time, but this is nothing new to me. This is every year. This league is a grind. You know, when I first got into this league, we couldn't compete against anybody. And now we're in every game. We're 5-4. That's where we are right now. There's a lot of good teams in our league at 5-4. You know, we got to make sure that we, you know, finish the last 11, 12 games, you know, the right way. And I think we can. And I really like this team a great deal.
All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, a couple of things you hit on there. One that really got my ear, and it kind of goes back to last night. So we'll talk about that and a whole lot more. It's the Steve Peichel podcast coming right back on the RWJ Barnabas Health Rutgers Sports Network. Nice to have you with us as we talk all things Rutgers basketball, the Steve Peichel podcast presented by RWJ Barnabas Health and the Rutgers Sports Network. Before we went to break, Coach, you were talking about how the kids are back in class today. And we talk about instant reaction and social media. We've had the discussion many times. But when you talk about them being back in class today, sometimes I think we forget that we're talking about 18 to 22, 23-year-old kids. And it goes to, I think, the post game last night. And Ron Harper, I mean, you talk about the maturity of these kids. Ron Harper said something, I don't have the quote on me exactly, but he basically apologized for the crowd being ready and then not winning on their home floor. Just talk about for a moment the mindset, the maturity that these kids have earned and gotten through, that they're college athletes, they're not pros, and yet some of them really handle it very well in very tough circumstances.
Well, I mean, that's always, you know, the hardest thing, you know, to get to a microphone after a loss. These kids don't want to disappoint anybody, you know, their coaches, their family, the fans, you know, they work and they do everything, you know, right. Real proud of, you know, his maturity. When we lose, it's always on me. Those guys came and they fought, and you know, Ron accepts responsibility as a leader, and I appreciate him doing that, but it's certainly, you know, on the coach always, but also knowing that throughout my whole career, you can't win every game, but no one else realizes that. And the other team's pretty good too. No one else factors that in. And the other team has, you know, good nights too. And these kids go through a lot. They really do. And I'm just real proud. Especially like a guy like Ron and Caleb and Gio, what these guys have gone through and how they've made this a program that we can compete with anybody is really amazing. And the fact that these fans come out and, you know, we didn't have students at games when we first took over, when Gio first came, when Ron first came, you know, and, you know, but with the more success we had, the more expectations, and that's just life now. But I also know how hard it is and you know, in this league and the challenges that they have, but love the fact that, you know, Ron does, they feel bad. They hear, you know, when people are disappointed, and these kids have always tried to please and they've done a lot of great things since they've been here. And, you know, we'll bounce back from a loss and I try to get them too, Jerry, because I think nowadays, you know, you're the Los Angeles Lakers when you win. You know, you're like the greatest thing. And then when you lose, you know, you're the New Jersey Generals. You know what I mean? Like, there's no balance. There's no reality to that. You know, you learn from your losses. That's what you want these young men to learn and fight through challenges, which they're going to have to take on for the rest of their lives. They've done a great job of doing that. They get knocked down, they get back up off the mat. We're going to get back up off the mat. You know, I'd love to tell you it's the last two-game losing streak, but, you know, we're not playing in a league that's possible, I think, for any team in this league, you know. And so, you know, but we'll learn from it. We'll fight back. These guys always said they got great character. And Ron just showed that yesterday.
Yeah, I was really blown away by his comments. And you're right. The league is very unforgiving in terms of the two games coming up. So Nebraska Saturday, followed by Northwestern on Tuesday. In your experience, you know, road trips like this for a college team, I know for the Big Ten tournament, you go and you expect to be gone for a week. The NCAA tournament with the break, you hope you're gone for 3-4 days, you come back. A 5-day trip essentially is kind of rare. What can it do? How beneficial can it be to get these guys? I mean, they go on road trips all the time, but not for this length of time. What can it do in terms of camaraderie and kind of getting them away like that for an extended period of time?
Yeah, I think that helps sometimes, just a, you know, new environment. I mean, they've been here with COVID. No students have been around until now. You know, sometimes you sit in your room and, you know, all day to think about, you know, the shot you missed yesterday too, you know, and, you know, so to get them away a little bit, it's a long trip. Nebraska's our furthest, you know, furthest flight. And then with quick turnaround in between the, you know, Northwestern game, I thought it would be, you know, good opportunity to get these guys away, you know, try something different too on the road, maybe experience a little bit of Chicago. You know, because we don't get a lot of time. You know, we're always rushing back for classes and we're always rushing back for something, you know, to do those kind of things. But you know, get us refocused on what we need to do and get these guys back to, you know, playing good basketball on the road. And that's our next step for this year to be successful. We got to go on the road and start, you know, playing better.
It's amazing you say get them refocused, because I can make every case, and I think a lot of people would probably agree with what you just said, and yet I could sit there and say, my God, and I know what Minnesota was missing the other day, but a kid had a career day. I thought the team played hard. I thought the team played hard last night. And it's amazing to me the ebbs and flows of the college basketball season, and you kind of alluded to it earlier, just the length of the season and how you can go one day here, one day there, one day here, one day there. Do you, at this stage of your career, do you enjoy the journey and the grind of getting to March basketball?
I mean, I really do. And I've always said that to you, like everyone wants the final chapter in the book. I've always enjoyed. And I think you learn from the early chapters in the season. I really do. And you watch guys development. I mean, Dean Reber didn't check into a game, and now he's, you know, like you watch, you know, Caleb McKay. I watched a tape from his freshman year. And I said to him, I can't believe how far you've come. And I think he's the defensive player of the year in the league, you know, or has a chance to be. And his freshman year, he couldn't guard anybody, you know, like, so the chapters, you know, and he remembers back to that too. Like, and I said, well, that's what made you, because you fought through that time, that's what makes you, you know, able to do the things that, you know, that you're doing now. But the season for me, the challenges that come with it, and also, you know, you just look at every team. Like, I don't know. It's certainly the wrong league to be in if you think you can dominate. You know, like, this isn't the league. Like, you know, 6 losses will win the league. 5 losses, you know, like, you know, some leagues, teams are going to go 18-0 and win their league. Like, this isn't that kind of league. And you watch Michigan on a losing streak, and you watch Michigan State, and, you know, you just say Purdue, you know, like, well, that's the league we're in. And, you know, but the chapters of the season, no one likes the regular season anymore, Jerry. Everything's about the NCAA and like, well, these are the stories and the battles that get you to that point. And hopefully they harden you so that when you do get that opportunity, you're ready for it. And, you know, the injuries, the COVID, the hamstring pull, the oral surgery, like all these things go into making a great year. You're playing great and you're not. You're in a winning streak. You're in a losing streak. You know, how your team fights through all those things really and get you to the end where last year in overtime, we could win a game, you know, to get it. But if it wasn't for the battles prior to that, you wouldn't be able to do that. And so I do enjoy it. I enjoy coaching. I especially enjoy coaching this team. We've had very few bad practices. It's a real coachable group, you know, and you know, I know it's a group too that wants to get better and wants to win. And you see how hard they played. You're Minnesota. We played hard the Minnesota game when we had our most efficient offensive night, you know, like, you know, they just made one more play than us, you know, and they played hard, you know, and you got to give them credit too. But those journeys and those life lessons, I think really help these guys moving forward. And it's going to help them in their journey after they leave here, because they're going to have to face obstacles playing in the G League or playing in the NBA or playing in Spain, you know, like, and hopefully we will have prepared them for all those obstacles, you know.
All right, quick break. When we come back, I want to get to a couple of players that have stepped up, made an impact on the team of late. It is the Steve Peichel Podcast presented by RWJ Barnabas Health, the Rutgers Sports Network. We continue on the Steve Peichel Podcast as Rutgers gets set to hit the road for Nebraska and Northwestern on Saturday and then on Tuesday. You mentioned Coach Dean Reber before the break a few minutes ago. What have you seen now? Because his playing time has increased and, you know, practice means a lot. What have you seen from Dean that his minutes have continued to go up?
Well, I mean, I think he's feeling more comfortable. But, you know, last night when he went to the rim one time and tried to dunk the basketball, like, you know, his aggressiveness and, you know, he got one shot kind of altered, and I brought him in the huddle and said, Dean, you're dunking on, you know, if it's a charge, I'll take it. If he blocks your shot, but, you know, I think he's just starting to show some of his ability to put the ball on the deck, finish around the rim, you know, timely rebounds, block shots defensively, all those things. You know, he's showing that more and more in practice. I just see him coming out of his shell a little bit. He's getting more vocal. And I'm excited for him because he's athletic. Like, you know, like no one else on our team, really, and except for Cliff. He could do some things, and he shows it in practice that, you know, a lot of people can't do. And I like the fact that he's starting, he's watching more film, and now he's getting a little dose of playing, and how do I stay in? How do I play more? And, you know, at the end of the Minnesota game, he made some incredible plays to kind of keep us and give us opportunities to, have the ball at the end to try to win the game. And if it wasn't for his opportunities, we wouldn't have been in that position. So real pleased with his development.
You know, when I was a kid, and I'm sure you remember this too, if you had two bigs like that, especially in the NBA, like they'd be on the floor, you'd figure it out. And you don't see that anymore. Is there ever a thought to put Dean and Cliff together on the floor, or is that just not basketball anymore?
I mean, you know, you always, you know, you tinker with lineups and you do some different things in there. You know, the problem is, you know, when people ask about other guys and other things, well, are you taking Ron Harper out right now? You know, like, so.
Right.
I get it. Like, you know, and I love the fact that, you know, we have some guys on the bench that, you know, real good, but our veterans are pretty good, you know? And so you got to take somebody out of the game to put somebody in. And if you're going to start playing him at a new position now, that's kind of the four spot is Mowat can play the four and Oscar can play the four. And, you know, you got a lot of different guys. So, you know, you always come down to that. The way Dean's playing now, yeah, I would think about that, you know, but he's showing those signs, and now you got to figure out a way to get him some more minutes. But before, he wasn't quite ready for that, and now he's growing into that. So hopefully down the road I'll have that issue.
All right, one final break. When we come back, something on Mowat Mag, and also we'll get into it a little bit more about Nebraska and Northwestern coming up. Steve Peichel podcast on the RWJ Barnabas Health Rutgers Sports Network. Nice to have you with us tonight as we continue on with the Steve Peichel podcast. Rutgers hits the road on Saturday for Nebraska. Then they play at Northwestern on Tuesday. Just one more on your roster, and that's Mowat. He went out of, you know, he was out. He was hurt with the dental issue a couple of weeks ago. He's been back. And we've talked about him before. Since he's been back, you know, the impact that he has, to me, it's like instant energy, instant defense. What have you seen out of Mowat as he has progressed through the year in and out of the lineup due to what happened to him?
Yeah. I mean, he's an important part, you know, during moving forward, and we just got to get him back in the rhythm, you know, of playing. But he's our leading offensive rebounder per minute. And you saw even last night, he gets right in, makes immediate impact on the backboards. Just got to get him a little more comfortable. You know, when he gets those rebounds, kick it out once in a while. You know, you don't have to try to score around the basket. Got to get him more consistent where he's not fouling. But I really think just the rhythm to the season, like I got to get him in a better rhythm. And he's a great kid. He's a worker. He's a good student. I mean, he does. He's coachable. He roots for his teammates. He's got all the great qualities of a winner. Again, just trying to find him some more minutes where he can, you know, impact the game. And sometimes that's taking Gio out. Sometimes that's taking Paul Mulcahy out. And, you know, I kind of like those guys on the court, especially because they're veteran guys.
How hard is it in terms of the flow and the rhythm of a season? We saw it when Gio got hurt last year. He comes back. He's not really the same. Even this year, too, it takes you a few games to kind of get back into it. As a coach, how do you balance having him on the floor? Because you know he's your best option, but you also know he's not quite right, and you're not exactly sure when that's going to kick in. Same type of thing, I guess you could make the case for Mowat. But just making sure you got guys in and you don't take them too long, or you don't take them out too quickly.
Yeah. I mean, that's always difficult because, you know, even during our COVID break, 14 days, and then you're like, but I got to get this guy in a game so that he'll be better for the next game he plays. Yep. You know, so there is a part of, you know, coaching too, that you say, you know, like Gio Baker, you know, when he first came back, he practiced a half a day before the Seton Hall game. And I knew he wouldn't quite be Gio Baker, but I was really trying to get him enough minutes so that the next game he would be a little closer to Gio Baker, and the next game after that, and get their game legs back under him, and especially knowing that they're not going to be at their best. They're not going to be in game shape. They're not going to, you know, be able to make some shots when their legs are tired, you know. So you got to have a real balancing act with that. And, you know, Mowat missed because of COVID, and the thing, he probably missed 17 straight days. So it's going to take you, you know, and during COVID, you can't practice at all. So it's not that you're conditioning, you're not doing anything. So it's going to take you some time and, you know, to get your rhythm back. And there's a rhythm to basketball too. And, you know, when you're injured and you're not playing and you're not practicing, you don't have that same rhythm and it takes you time. So, you know, you got to fight through that as a coach and do the best you can.
Last one for you. Nebraska Saturday, and then, of course, the trip to Northwestern right after that. The difficulty of, you know, I asked you this last night, too, and now you're going to do it again. It's not that long ago that you played Nebraska at Rutgers. Would you prefer more space between the games? I mean, it's really hard to beat a team twice, and when you got to do it in such a short period of time, what are the difficulties in terms of the game prep for that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, this game is very difficult because they're a different team now. They got McGowan's back, his brother, who may be one of the best defenders in the league, and he's as athletic as any, you know, so they're not playing the same guys they were playing. Walker, their post guy, is terrific. He was in big time foul trouble the last time we played him, you know, so he didn't factor into the game as much as, you know, he will. They're much better at home, obviously, overtime with Ohio State. Illinois is a one possession game. And Illinois had Kofi Coburn. He played in that game, you know, so, you know, it's a very difficult game and you got to get your guys to realize this is a different Nebraska. First of all, they're really good at home, you know, last year, you know, obviously we went down there and they cracked us, you know, and we were an NCAA tournament team, you know, and we needed that game. And that's why there was tremendous pressure on us to go to Minnesota and win the Minnesota game. So you got to get your guys' attention. I think we have a good group. They've been through a lot. I think that helps us because when I start mentioning things about Nebraska, the veteran guys will understand what I'm talking about. And when you play them so close, I don't think it's a great benefit. I would rather spread games out. And, you know, teams are different. Teams are very familiar with you. And then your guys got to have, you know, we played well against them. And it's not going to be like that. You know, it's not going to, we made every shot that night, Jerry. You know, so we made some incredible shots that night too. And so, you know, this isn't going to be that kind of game. We got to come ready to play. We're a blue collar program. And we got to be as blue collar as we've been. And we got to be focused on the road. We're not going to get any calls. The fans are going to be loud. And those guys are fighting for their lives too. And they have some really talented guys. You know, they really do. They have some really talented players. So we got to be ready. And, you know, we've been here before though. I've been here as a coach. I enjoy when people count us out. That's a great thing for me. It's good. It's good. But the true Rutgers people know what a great job that these kids have done, you know, representing the program and elevating this program. And, you know, we like that. We like that, but we like the challenges too. And, you know, we've been counted out every year. So it's nothing new.
Well, go get them this weekend. And then of course on Tuesday, Coach, enjoyed it. We will see you in Nebraska.
Thanks, Jerry.
All right, that'll do it for another edition of the Steve Peichel podcast. Rutgers at Nebraska Saturday, then at Northwestern on Tuesday. Return home to Jersey Mike's Arena on February 5th against Michigan State. Everybody, we will see you along the way on the RWJ Barnabas Health Rutgers Sports Network.